God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. And if you don't have it, you can get it right now. You don't have to wait for an altar call. His Holy Spirit is falling right now. Right now. Oh, praise God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let me say this just some time ago to show you you can get the Holy Ghost. You don't have to get it at an altar call. Some time ago, there was a man who worked under a lady that attends our church. Mr. Johnson is a principal of an elementary school in South Carolina. Of course, she drives down to Savannah to our church. And this man worked under her. He is a Baptist preacher, pastors a Baptist church there out from Walterboro, South Carolina. She got to talking to this man about the Holy Ghost and the change that it made in her life. Mary Johnson was on the verge of committing suicide. During this time, she was teaching a Sunday school class in the big Baptist church there in Walterboro, South Carolina. And nobody would ever dream that inside of her there was a battle going on, and she was looking for a way out. She had thought about suicide, but she came to our church, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. We baptized her in Jesus' name. And she went back talking to this Baptist preacher about her experience, and this man had a hunger in his heart for something more than what he had. Well, to make a long story short, one Saturday night in preparing for his Sunday message, he prayed, "Lord, if this Holy Ghost baptism is for me, I want you to give it to me. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready. I want it." So he said he just couldn't seem to get a message for that morning worship service. But he went on that morning, taught his Sunday school lesson, and he said during morning worship, he said he just went to the pulpit, and he said, "I didn't have anything to preach. I didn't know what I was going to do." So he said, "I thought the best thing to do is pray." And he said, "I started praying, and all of a sudden, I felt something come over me." He said, it hit from the top of my head and went to the sole of my feet. He said, "I started speaking in a language I'd never spoken before, right in the pulpit of a Baptist church." And of course, he finally came to himself, and he said, "Well, I better explain some things to these people." And he started telling them, and some of those old-timers got plumb excited about it themselves. Well, it wasn't long until she started talking to him about water baptism in Jesus' name. And he got to looking into it, and he said, "You know, that's right." He said, "I can't find the way we've been baptizing in the Bible." And he said, "I don't understand why we've been baptizing in the title, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, when the apostles baptized always in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So he came to Savannah and said, "I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. I baptized him in the lovely name of Jesus." He came up out of that water talking in tongues. Went back to his church, and that's the only way he'll baptize now is in Jesus' name. He forgive the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, you can get the Holy Ghost right between the pew. You can get the Holy Ghost at your house. You can get the Holy Ghost standing at the altar. Just open up and receive it. It's yours. It's a gift. Praise God. Praise God. And I'm glad he's given us that power in the service tonight. Well, praise the Lord. I want to preach tonight. If you have not already received the Holy Ghost, it's nobody's fault but your own, because the Lord is ready right now, and he's been ready ever since the service has started to fill you with his Spirit. And don't get discouraged if you've not received it. I'm here to tell you, you're going to if you're hungry for it. There may just be some things that you're having to break through. May need to have just a little more faith to believe God. Whatever's standing in the way, you just keep plowing through. And after a while, God's going to fill you with his beautiful Spirit. Amen. I want to, tonight, and this last service that will be here, revival has not stopped and will not stop. I believe you've got something going. Don't let it stop. Just keep it going. Praise God. just keep adding some more coal to it, and prayer and fasting and worship and witnessing, and there is no telling what's going to happen. Praise God. And, well, we got one light going out, but I'm glad the light is still shining. Jesus Christ is still alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to turn your attention to the book of Isaiah, chapter 10. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. Would you stand with me again, please, for the reading of God's Word? I do want to preach tonight from my heart. I want to reach for the lost in this service. I have preached to you Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. And I don't say that this tonight is just to the sinner, but I do want to reach for the lost. If there's a backslider in this service tonight, I pray that you'll make a move back toward the Father's house before you leave this place tonight. If you're here without God in your life, I plead with you to make things right. Don't let such a powerful move of God's Spirit as we've had here tonight slip through your fingers. Make things right tonight. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous deeds or decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. Verse 3, and what will you do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your glory? I want to preach tonight from the subject three important questions to consider. I believe these questions need to be considered in this service tonight. By every sinner, by every lukewarm child of God, by every backslider, not only that, but even by every person that feels you're strong, we need to consider the questions that I have asked you here tonight. Brother Rutledge, would you ask God's blessings on the Word tonight?
Lord, with thanksgiving for what we have felt, with thanksgiving for the message we've heard, and for all the goodness to be extended to one of us in times past, for we still are in need.
Yes.
And there's people here that need God. And the comfort
of God.
And may they feel the warmth of your Spirit. And the voice of your call.
Praise.
And let them feel the news and the love through the Word of God tonight that will bring them to an all new return. Amen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And everybody said in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise.
Thanks the Lord. Now there are three questions in the third chapter, the third verse of the 10th chapter of Isaiah, that I would like for you to consider with me for just a moment. The first question is, and what will you do in the day of visitation? Now I believe that God is visiting this world in these last days with a revival that we need.
Hallelujah.
We have read, we have heard, we have seen that revival is spreading around our world. We get reports from other countries of hundreds and thousands who are being filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. I believe that this is our day. I do not believe that this is Satan's day. He's going to have his day. But I believe that this is our day. I'm speaking about the Church of the Living God. And we need to be aware of this day of God's visitation and receive those things that belong to us. But not only is God visiting the whole world, but we'll narrow it on down. I believe that God is visiting the United States of America with a move of His Spirit. Not only that, but we know without a shadow of a doubt that God is visiting in this service tonight. In case you don't realize it, I'm here to tell you, God is in this place. I believe the Creator is here. I believe the Healer is here. I believe the Waymaker is here. I believe the Savior is here. He has visited with us ever since Wednesday night. And then again tonight, with the powerful move of His Spirit, God is visiting this service. But I want to bring it a little closer home. I believe that God is visiting every person that's in this building tonight. I don't know how you see it, but this is the way I see it. It's no accident that you're sitting where you're sitting tonight. I believe that it is the will of God that every person is in this building right now. God is visiting you, and He's talking to you if you'll open your ears and hear what He has to say. So God is visiting every person. Those who are lost, He's here to save you. I want you to know those who have strayed away from Him, He's here to welcome you back home, even as the father of the prodigal son welcomed his boy back home again. So there will be rejoicing in the family of God. If you're a backslider, I'm here to tell you, we love you tonight, and we want to see you get back into the family of God. And there's going to be rejoicing when you walk back to an old-fashioned altar of repentance. For those who are lukewarm, He's here to set you on fire and make you a flame. And even for those of you who are spiritually strong, He's visiting the service tonight to make you even stronger than what you've been in the past. So the question is tonight, what will you do in this day of visitation? You see, you have got the decision. You've got to make the decision. I can't make it for you. I wish I could. Brother Rutledge wishes he could. How many times have we preached to people that we would have loved to go back and force them to the altar and fill them with God's Spirit, but we can't do that. You've got a will of your own. When God created man, He placed within him a will of His own. And it's up to you to make the decision what you're going to do in this day of visitation. I wonder, will it be for you as it was for Jerusalem in Luke 19:41? And when Jesus came near, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, "If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes, for the days shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side." And He said the reason all of this is going to happen is because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Amen. Now let me remind you tonight, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to reject His visitation, you're going to fail to do what His Word commands you to do, or you're going to receive Him and repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Backslider, you're either going to reject His visitation, or you're going to make your way back down that road that led you away from Calvary. For the lukewarm, you're going to reject His visitation, or you're going to become a flame of fire, set on fire for the cause of Christ. It's up to you tonight what you're going to do with this hour of visitation. Amen. Now, the next two questions that I want to talk about will not be for those who will be touched and moved and changed by the visitation of God, but it's going to be for those who will reject the visitation and reject the call of God. You see, if everybody in this building tonight would do something about the visitation of God, there would be no need for me to go any further. I would stop right now, and everybody would take advantage of the visitation. But just for those who may not take advantage of that visitation, I've got to tell you, there's two more questions that you need to consider. The second question is this: what will you do in the desolation which shall come from far? I believe the rapture of the church is just about to take place. I do not know the day nor the hour. I do not know whether it's going to be another week, another month, another year, another 10 years. I don't know. No man knows the day or the hour. But there is something inside of me. There is a feeling. There is an atmosphere that's telling us Jesus is soon to come back. I believe in the catching away of the saints of the living God. It doesn't take a Bible scholar to look in some of the Word of God and realize the day that you and I are living. You can find in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, in the last days, perilous times to come. Have you ever in your life seen such a dangerous hour that you and I are living in right now? There was a day, you remember it, when you could leave your house and you didn't have to worry about it. You could leave the doors unlocked. Yeah, there was a time you didn't have to lock the doors on your car. I don't know how it is in Pine Bluff. You don't do that in Savannah anymore. We're living in a very dangerous hour. Too dangerous for our ladies to walk the streets by themselves. We're living in perilous times. He said men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let me tell you, friend, you can pick up your newspaper and read along with 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and realize that we're living in the last days that Paul spoke of. But I'm here to tell you, these are great days for the church.
Right.
It's sad times and troublesome times for those that are in the world, but for the church, these are glorious times. For in the midst of all of the sin and the wickedness and the immorality and the crime and the famine and the economic crisis, Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. I like what he said in 1 Corinthians 15. He lets us know there's coming a day that this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality. And we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is a beautiful day for the church.
Amen.
I want you to know 5 minutes after the rapture, those who are left behind will be willing to give everything they have for one more chance to take advantage of God's visitation.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm sure there's some sitting in this service who sat on Pentecostal pews for a long time and rejected the call of God. But I'm going to tell you, 5 minutes after the rapture of the church, you would give everything that you have, everything that you ever had, you've ever had, for just one more chance to pray and one more chance to get right with God. Because when you wake up to the fact that the church is gone, I wonder what it's going to be like. I tried to visualize what it's going to be like after the rapture of the church. I'm going to tell you who it's really going to be bad on. It's really going to be bad on those who know the truth, but who rejected it. It's really going to be bad on the backslider, who once felt the power of God, but strayed away. Whenever you turn your radio on and they interrupt the program for a special bulletin, houses are missing everywhere. We don't know what's happened. The hospitals are filling up because there have been wrecks all over the highway. We try to find the driver in some of these cars, but we can't find them. Can you imagine the confusion that's going to be in our city hall, that's going to be in our hospitals because the rapture has taken place? Can you imagine hearing that on the radio, knowing that you've heard it preached? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And you sat in service after service and said, I've heard that all of my life. I've heard preachers preach it ever since I was a child. But now you wake up to the reality. It's happened and I'm lost.
Lord, 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 Lord.
Run to the church. Nobody there. Oh, friend, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when the desolation of this world comes,
What are you going to do when the desolation was to come from far? Where are you going to go? What's he going to do? What's he going to say?
I remember as a child coming home, maybe from school, walking inside. Mom, I'm home.
Nothing.
Mom, where are you? I'm home.
Nothing.
And as a child, it would hit me.
Oh, has the rapture taken place?
I can't explain the feeling that would come over me. I'd run to the phone and I'd dial some other good saint's number, hoping they would answer. And if they didn't answer, oh, I'd go all the pieces. Finally, I'd get a hold of somebody that I really felt like was on fire for God, and they'd say, hello. And I'd say, praise the Lord, good to hear you, boss. Hang up.
Well,
what?
Yes.
You wonder what it's going to be like when you start calling around but can't get an answer. You know where your mind's going to go? It's going to go back to that furthest time and time again that you sat in. Heard the preaching of God's word. Heard the singing of the ensemble and the choir and the chorale. You heard the preaching, the pleading of that pastor. You heard the prayers of that mom and that dad. You heard the prayers of the saints of God who were reaching out for your soul in that service that God was visiting in. Your mind will go back, and that would in itself will be enough to drive you out of your mind. And lost. After the rapture of the church, Revelations 8 and 9 tells of the plague that are going to come to this world. And it's going to be so severe until Revelation 9 and 6 tells us that in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The thing that most people back up from and draw away from, that thing called death. Of course, we know for the child of God, when it comes our time to die, we can go out singing a song and talking in tongues, and it's just a shortcut to glory. But you're looking at one that I don't particularly want to die tonight. But, you know, it's something we don't like to talk about. It's something we don't like to hear preached about. Death. But in that day, if you're left behind after the rapture of the church, you're going to cry out, oh, death, come. I've got to die. I can't take the pain and the misery and the torment of the plagues that are coming upon us. The Bible said that men are going to seek death and they're not going to be able to find it. They're going to desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I wonder, Brother Rutledge, will they go as far as cutting their wrists, but yet they can't die? Trying to blow their hearts out, but they can't die. The Bible says that death is going to flee from them.
Oh,
the plagues that are going to come.
My Lord.
Following these plagues, the Bible tells us of some vials, seven vials that are going to be poured out upon this world. My friend, you may think it's a fairy tale, but one day you're going to realize the Word of God is true. Seven vials will be poured out. Revelation 16 tells us about it. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. I'm going to tell you, friend, everything is getting set up for the Antichrist to be revealed. I want you to know that things are being set up for the mark of the beast to be put into action. If I were you tonight and you're not ready to meet God, I would hit this altar as soon as I could and make things right with God. You're just about to see the entering in of the Antichrist if you don't make it in the rapture. The stage is being set. Things are happening every day, and they're happening so fast until you can't keep up with them all.
It's just about to happen.
Sores, grievous sores, are going to cover man from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Grievous sores. I don't know. Maybe it'll be something like balls or risins, as we used to call them, that is going to break out on the body of men, and they're going to scrape those sores, and they're going to try to find medication to ease the pain. But I'm sorry, when God pours out His wrath, there will be no ease. There will be no medication that will ease the pain. It will be nothing but torment. Oh, my friend, there's a day coming that you've got to escape. But the only way you can do it is to take advantage of the visitation of God.
Men will toss, roll on their beds in pain and misery, but nothing will ease the pain. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became blood as a dead man, congealed blood, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. Oh, can you imagine how it's going to be after out in the hot sun working? You're thirsty. You've got to have a drink of water. Your throat seems to be swelling, your tongue swelling in your mouth. You run to the water cooler and turn it on, and nothing but blood. You run down to the faucet and turn it on, and nothing but blood. Everywhere you go, the water's turned to blood. Nothing to drink. Oh, my friend, when God pours His wrath out upon this world, men are going to realize that God means business.
The
water will turn to blood. The fourth angel will pour out his vial upon the sun, and power will be given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues. And they repented not to give Him glory. You say, Brother Hart, one of these days I'll repent. One of these days I'll get right with God. When all of these things begin to happen, I'll repent. The Bible said you'll blaspheme God. You'll curse God. You listen, you'll curse the day of your birth. You'll curse the mom and dad that brought you into this world. That's how severe it's going to be on that day. Sun will scorch men with fire. Run to your shelter, but I'm sorry, you can't find shelter then. The sun will be so hot, so severe, I'm sure that buildings will go up in flames. All of the crops that men are wanting to harvest will be burned up. There's going to be famine like you've never seen in all of your life. Men are going to try to find something to eat. It's going to be burned up. We're not talking about a day that's just thousands of years in the future. I believe this day is so near, and it's probably a whole lot nearer than some of us think it is.
Oh, Lord.
I'm sure many of you have known the feeling of being burnt. I remember as a child going fishing and taking my shirt off, and that hot sun beat down upon my back, and I didn't realize just how burnt I was getting. But it was so severe that when I went home, I couldn't even put a shirt on. I'd get in front of a fan and an air conditioner and try to ease the pain, but it seemed that nothing would ease the pain. Come on, put some kind of medication on me. I can't stand it. And it just didn't seem to do any good at all. But that's nothing compared to what it's going to be like when God pours His vial out upon this world. Son will have the power to scorch men with fire. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the feet of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. I mean, have you ever been into a dark place where you couldn't even see your hand in front of you? I'm sure you've been in caves where they turned the lights out, and it was so dark until you could feel the darkness. Can you imagine what it's going to be like, friend, when you're all alone? Hear me? All alone.
in the darkness that's going to be so great that you'll gnaw your tongue because of the pain. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me into getting right with God. Oh, I'm just trying to wake you up and help you to realize if you don't take advantage of this visitation tonight, there's nothing but a dark day ahead for you.
I'm sorry, I can't paint you a beautiful picture, sinner friend, down the road that you're traveling. The only beautiful picture I can paint you is if you'll turn from your wicked ways and if you'll turn from the direction you're going and head in the direction of the altar and give your life to God. And brother, there's a beautiful picture there. But if you continue the way you're going, it's nothing but darkness up ahead. Oh, the devil may have you deceived, and you may seem to be having a good time right now. You may be enjoying your partying. You may be enjoying your riotous living. But I'm here to tell you, your party is just about over. Listen to me, young person that's living it up in the world and kicking your heels high and enjoying your party. I'm here to tell you, the lights are just about to go out. And what are you going to do when the party's over? What are you going to do when your friends are gone? What are you going to do when darkness covers the face of the earth? So grievous that you'll gnaw your tongue for pain. What are you going to do in the desolation that's coming from afar? What are you going to do? Darkness will cover the earth. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The water thereof was dried up. The way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Oh, let me tell you, sitting in this service, there are young men that could very well, if you don't give your life to God and get right, could be fighting in the greatest battle that's ever been fought, the worst battle that will ever be fought, the Battle of Armageddon. I'm here to tell you, I remember Sister Kraft telling our Sunday school class when I was just a child. She said, some of you boys that are sitting in this class could very well be fighting in the Battle of Armageddon one day. And some of those boys sat back there, the grin on their face, unconcerned, carefree. But brother, when you think about it now, where are the soldier boys? Where are they practicing the most? Why are they changing the colors of some of our trucks and tanks in the army to a light beige? Why are they sending so many of our young men out to California to the desert? I'll tell you why. You read it in your newspaper. Things that are happening over in the Middle East right now. I'm here to tell you, my friend, things are beginning to wrap up. And if you've ever needed to take advantage of the visitation of God, you need to take advantage of it tonight. While you're sitting in this building in the cool air condition, there are young men who are out there dying, giving their lives. Because Bible prophecy is being fulfilled while you and I sit right here. Whether you're ready or not, friend, it's going to happen. I preached a message some time ago entitled, Ready or Not. We used to play that little game, hide and go seek. Somebody would count to 100, and then they'd say, Ready or not, here I come. In other words, you've had time to hide. You've had time to prepare. If you haven't taken advantage of that time, I'm sorry, you're going to be caught. And I'm here to tell you, I believe that we're just about to hear the sound. Ready or not, here I come. I want you to know we've got accustomed to some things that are going to happen whether we're ready or not. Whether you're ready or not, the sun's going to come up in the morning. Whether you're ready or not, the winter time is going to come. And if you don't prepare and get ready, it's going to catch you unprepared. And I'm here to declare to you, whether you're ready or not, Jesus Christ is about to come back. Oh, but Brother Hodge, we'll have plenty of time to get ready. Oh, you're fooling your own self. Noah, you old fogey, you've been preaching this message for 120 years.
Where's the clouds, Noah? Where's the rain, Noah? Let them make fun of you, child of God. Let them say, why you go to church so much? Why are you living such a separated life from the world? Let them talk all they want. One of these days, they're going to be crying out. Open the door. Open the door.
My Lord.
And it seemed like Noah was a liar. It seemed like Noah's the one that was deceived. Thunder filled the air. A sound that had not been heard. And then all of a sudden, what's that? Maybe Noah was right. They run to the ark. Noah, let us in. Noah, we thought we had plenty of time. And we have, Noah. It's just beginning to rain. Hey, Noah, open up, man. This is your friend. This is your old buddy. Open up, Noah. I believe Noah really tried. He wanted to. But finally he had to say, I'm sorry, but God closed the door and I can't open it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you think you've got plenty of time, some of you, because it's no worse than it is right now. Some of you may be waiting even for the Antichrist to come, but I'm warning you tonight, it's closer than a lot of you think it is.
At that time, ready or not, Jesus is coming. 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 When that time finally comes, I'm sorry, friend. He's not going to wait around for you to pass your clothes then. Oh, no. You've got time right now to prepare. He's visiting you right now. He's visiting you right now. Waiting for you to prepare. Oh God. And there fell upon men great hail, out of heaven every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Oh, Brother Hodge, I'll wait till that time. You better not, friend. Revelation 16 and 15, he said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. Blessed is he that watcheth. I'm looking. I'm waiting. Every day when I read my newspaper, something else tells me he's a little bit closer. He's a little bit closer. That day is soon to arrive. I'm watching. I'm waiting. I'm looking. And then he said, you've got to keep your garments lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Come on, while we're watching for Jesus to come, we better watch and keep our garments. We better make sure our heart's right. Oh, maybe this is why God wanted me to preach the way I did the last two nights. It's to search our hearts. Oh, I've got to be ready. I've got to be saved. I know too much to be lost. Come on, you've heard enough preaching to save the world. It'd be a shame for you to be lost. It'll be a shame for you to be left behind after all the preaching you've heard.
Amen. That's right.
Don't allow yourself to become slack. You got to keep your garments. You got to watch your life. What will you do when God's wrath is poured out? Hear it, my friend. Answer my question, please.
What will you do
in the desolation that shall come from far? What are you going to do when the fireworks come?
What are you going to do when the plague comes? What are you going to do when the vials are poured out?
What are you going to do? Come on. You're going to do something.
That's right.
If you don't take advantage of his visitation tonight, you better be thinking about it. What are you going to do? And then the third question is this. To whom will you flee for help? Revelation 6 and 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Hear me tonight, sinner friend. Who are you going to run to for help? Mom and daddy's going to be gone. Brother and sister's going to be gone. The saints are going to be gone. The pastor's going to be gone. The pastor's wife is going to be gone. No more Sunday school to chew your gum and write your notes and go to sleep in. No more Sunday night services to reject God or fail to worship or fail to pray or dedicate your life to God in. No more Wednesday night services to skip out on. No more youth services. No more youth camps. No more camp meetings. To whom will you flee for help? Come on, young man. You run to mom and daddy when you're in trouble. When the rapture takes place and mom and dad's gone, who you gonna run to?
Oh,
how about it, sir? How about it, ma'am? Things go bad. Where do you go? I run to the pastor and say, pray. But where will you go then? Because he'll be gone.
No, Lord.
No more phone calls from a pastor's wife. Who cares? To whom will you flee for help? Run to the church. Doors will be locked for a little while, but then you'll be able to get in very easily, because they'll be broken down from the hinges of desperate people and backsliders and people who sat on pew service after service and rejected God. You just may not find a place to pray in here, because on that day, this church will be packed like it's never been packed before. I believe there'll be people out on the sidewalk, out in the street. The parsonage will be filled. People crying out, oh God, oh God, oh God. Who are you going to turn to then? I don't want to think about those things now, preacher. It's time for you to think about them. So the most important question of these three tonight is this. What will you do in this day of visitation? This could determine the rest. Are you going to reject it? Are you going to say, well, I've had other times. I'll have another. I could stand here tonight and tell you of people who got a visitation. But not now. Holy Ghost! Or will you walk out the doors and say, not now, some other time?
How about it, backslider? Are you going to get up from where you are? Are you going to lay your pride aside and make your way to an altar of repentance?
Or you're going to walk out like you've done so many other times and say, well, I've gotten by before. I'll get by again. I can't promise you that. How about it, lukewarm child of God? How about that one that dried up spiritually? How about that one that's just hanging around? Not really in with all your heart, just hanging around. Are you going to come here tonight and rededicate and consecrate your life to God? Are you going to walk out the door and say, well, someday? What are you going to do? It's up to you tonight.
Right.
It's up to you. I can't make you come. I can't force you to come. In fact, I'm not even going to walk back and hold your hand and lead you to the altar. No. This is your decision. And somebody could be getting their last visitation. Are you here? While every head is bowed in church, if you've ever prayed, lift your voices and pray right now.